Okay. I'm going to get started here pretty soon. Just to let you know that the Facebook Live is on close to a 20-second delay. So if I try and respond to something, it'll be late when you see it. And I want to share with you why I'm at home doing this. I started feeling a little bit ill on Friday and had flu-like symptoms and a dry cough, all the signs of COVID. I've not been tested for COVID. I was tested for influenza. Unfortunately, that came back negative, so that means I may or may not have it. They are reserving testing for those in ICU, because there's a limited amount of tests and they want to reserve that for those who they absolutely need to know. So the interesting thing that I want our church people to be aware of is I asked the clinic, I said, "So how many more were like this today?" I was the fifth one. So out of those five, we may all have COVID. None of us may have it. We don't know. And so when we see information about a county with a confirmed case of COVID, what we're actually seeing is someone who's bad enough that they have to be admitted to ICU and are tested. Now, things are changing daily. So come Monday, they might start testing more broadly. But that just tells us that this could be far more widespread than we think it is right now. But I don't offer this to encourage any kind of panic. My wife has a verse, and I hope she'll share it online. And many of you are familiar with it, that she's had placed on her heart for this entire year, and that is that we have not been given a spirit of fear. And I don't want us to have a spirit of fear, but God gave us, a brain to be smart and be cautious when it's important. And so I'm encouraging you, especially if you fall in that area of folks that are susceptible to this disease, our 60 plus folks, be sure to check out details online. I want to share with you, I'm going to post it here. And hopefully it'll probably come up before you're actually hearing me say this, because it's on, again, it's on a 20-second delay. But there's a link that I just shared to a YouTube video that is very informational. It's a group called Kirkazog. I might not be saying that correctly, but they research things very carefully. And if you want more information about this COVID-19 and how it works, that's the place to go. I'm pulling it off my tablet now. I'm going to share another link. One of the things that they told me to do when they sent me home was to do my best. Those were their words. Do my best, not to infect my family. So I asked, what does that mean? And they said, well, just be careful. I reached out to my cousin in Florida, who's a doctor down there, Doug McKee, and he showed me a picture of himself in an almost hazmat suit. And they're doing testing outside the hospital and running tests. He's down in Florida, so large population of people who will be vulnerable to this disease. Extra precautions. But he shared this link with me. So if you're somebody who's exhibiting some of the symptoms, I'm going to share that now. This link will take you to a place where it shows you how to set up a sick room. And so that's why I'm here at my house. I'm in my sick room. I actually, had Zoom dinner with my family last night. I'm staying in here. Leslie's bringing me water and stuff like that. I've got my phone, and I'll send a text message if something I need. My text messages to her have become the equivalent of a 80s sitcom, the bell ringing thing when somebody's sick and stuck, and everybody gets sick of them being sick after a while. But so far, everybody in the house has treated me very well, and so I'm feeling fine. Last couple days it felt really horrible. Very achy, flu-like symptoms. But my temperature's staying down a little bit without medication today. And so I'm doing fine. And I share all that not to share where I'm at, but if you're somebody that, I mean, I guess the guesstimations are two-thirds of us are going to get this. And like I said, mine isn't a confirmed case. I could have something else. And in fact, the clinic told me they had an individual earlier this month who tested negative for pneumonia, but then later, or influenza, but then later did test positive for it. The tests are only 80% proof. So there's just no telling, but I got to treat it like it is. But I share all this information to let you know if you're somebody who ends up with it. Incubation period for about 95% of folks is 10 to 11 days. So if you've been exposed to it and it's gotten into your system, about 10 days later, you can expect some sort of symptoms to be coming up. Again, I'm giving you the best information I have. It's important to go to reliable resources to find out more and check that. But I got something that probably most of you can't find. They gave me a mask, so I have that. It is super ironic that our series that we're going through, and I'm going to transition to our lesson now. But I think it's important to have that information. But we're working on our soul detox. You don't have to have this book to get what we're talking about, but it is helpful, and there's a lot of really good things in here. If you're somebody who's playing it safe and social distancing, and your work kind of has you at home right now, this is a great opportunity to get closer to God and to explore some of the things we're going to talk about today. And find ways to cleanse ourselves of both outward toxic influences, but also inward ones. Some we're very aware of, and we're going to talk about the difference between sins we're aware of and sins we're not aware of, and how to root out those ones. Like if we have a sin in us or a negative thought that's influencing the way we interact with God and others, how do we find that out? How do we discover that? So, we're going to talk about those things today. Let's have a word of prayer as we get ready to dig into this message for today. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for technology, which helps us to stay connected in a time like this. Lord, I pray for those who are working overtime, our cashiers, our clerks, our stock people, our semi drivers, transport folks who are so essential to the basic needs of our life. I pray you would protect them and keep them safe. I pray that those, Lord, who are panicking, you would calm their spirits, Lord. I pray for protection over each of us, Lord, to see us through this time and help us not have a spirit of fear. But Lord, also help us to be wise in the choices we make. Bless our time together and bless this conversation we're to have as a church that we, Lord, might find those secret sins within us that you need to root out, change, and transform. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So if you do have the book, you'll know that it has three sections. And the first is toxic behaviors. That's what we're going to talk about today. Toxic emotions is the next section. They each have about four chapters. And the last one is toxic influences. The interesting thing about the way this is structured is three of those are things that are directly within us, or two of those three. The third one is, and the last one we'll talk about are the influences around us that influence our behavior. But today we're talking about toxic behaviors. These are behaviors that we sometimes knowingly engage in and other times unknowingly. And they affect our discipleship walk. And I'm going to share with you a link here. If you're wondering, what is the discipleship walk? I know that, let me see if I can get it here. A discipleship walk is a very personal thing that we have between us and God, where we're at in our relationship. So it's hard to quantify it, but I've just shared a link that tries to do just that. Take it for what it is. It's a tool. Now, no tool is perfect, but you can't build a house without a tool, right? And so this is a tool to help you in your discipleship walk. It's linked to our webpage, and it talks about different stages of our connection to Jesus. And it moves from stranger all the way to being an intimate friend. Stranger meaning we're not aware of him. He doesn't play a role in our life, an intimate friend, whereas he guides and directs much of who we are and what we're about, and we're growing into that. So I'd encourage you to take time to look through that resource and find out prayerfully where you might be in your relationship with Jesus. I want to ask you a question, and I hope you'll post online as we discuss this. When is the time that you discovered something embarrassing about your appearance? Now, I don't mean, you looked in the mirror and went, "Oh man, I got a crooked nose," or something like that. I mean, you were up front giving a speech and later you found out your fly was undone or something ridiculous like that. So I'd like for you guys, just for fun, share those stories with each other. And I'm going to come back to it here in just a minute. But as we talk about toxic behaviors, Craig Rochelle does something fun. He gives these, he's a great pastor. His resources are wonderful. I've used several of them. And that's who's written this book. But as he talks about toxic behaviors, he breaks it into four areas of toxic behaviors that we can engage in. Self-deception, septic thoughts, lethal language, and hazardous waste. Now, I'm not going to be able to go through all of those today, but to give you just a quick summary of each of those. Self-deception, this is top of the list. These are our blind spots. These are things, he uses the example American Idol. You know those folks that get up there and they just sing their hearts out, but they have zero talent. But for some reason, they think they do. And unfortunately, the sadistic side of us likes to laugh at those folks and see them put in their place, which isn't a real good trait of ours. But these are those places where we deceive ourselves, and we can't really see the sin that's in us and working. The next one is septic thoughts, and this one we're going to go into a little bit. So these first two we'll go into a bit today. The last two we won't so much because they're a little more obvious. But septic thoughts are convictions that we have. Thought patterns that we have that are just wrong. They're out of place. We believe they're correct and we act out of them, but they're wrong. And both of these are really hard to root out. Self-deception and septic thoughts. Deep sins in us that we're not even aware of, and the septic thoughts, wrong thinking. And so how do these things get in us? If they're not willful sin, how they get in us. And that's what I'm going to talk about right now. There's several ways you can quantify what sin is, but there's a couple natures as to sin. There's sin of the will, which is what we're most familiar with. Ten Commandments: don't do these things, don't willfully break God's law. So that's sin of the will. Then there's sin of nature, meaning there's something wrong within us, our passions, our desires, our inclinations that are wrong. They're not in the right place and they don't point in the right way. One of the best stories we have to reveal this is in Genesis. When we look at the story of Adam and Eve, So Adam and Eve were placed in the garden. God's lavishing them with his love. And he says, but don't eat from this one tree. And the serpent comes along and tempts them. So Eve makes a willful choice to break God's law. She tempts Adam to do the same, and he willfully chooses to eat of the fruit as well. So that's a sin of the will. They knew what they were doing, they knew it was wrong, and there's evidence in that because then they hide from God. They don't want him to see what they're up to, and they don't want him to see that they're naked. They become exposed, and their exposure is a negative thing now because it's not true. And so there's that brokenness, and this begins turning into the sin nature. Now I'm going to pull up the passage here for us. Hopefully I saved it on here. Okay, good. So in Genesis 3, God confronts them in their sin. And so we're going to see this willful sin turn into sin of the nature. So something inside of them that they're unaware of that is now motivating them that is not in line with God. God asks of them, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, now here's the sin nature coming out. The woman whom you gave me, she gave me fruit from the tree and I ate it. He's passing the buck. He's not receiving. Something within him is unwilling to face the truth that he willfully broke the law, and so he finds a scapegoat, and it's the woman. The same thing happens to the woman. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent tricked me, and I ate. And in both of those, what we see happening is a transition from willful sin. I know what I'm doing, and I'm choosing something other than what God has for me. I'm eating from the tree. I know he told me not to do that, but I'm thinking differently than he, and so I'm gonna do that. To an unawareness of what's motivating them, and starting to make excuses from that nature. And when we look at self-deception, that's where self-deception is, and it's insidious because if you continue to read that passage in Genesis, you see first that God curses the snake. So even nature now is going to be opposed to itself. Then he curses the woman, or rather reveals the curse that they've made is really the truth of it. That now she's going to have problems with her relationship with childbirth, and her relationships with her husband are going to be strained. And her husband's going to be strained in how he cultivates the earth. And so all these things then are cursed because their nature is now off center and in the wrong place. And that's what self-deception does. That's what our septic thoughts do. And sin can be defined as that which separates us from God. That's what separates us from others, and that which separates us from wise stewardship of the material creation that God has given us to care for. So, sin of will, a willful choice, knowingly chosen, I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to anyways, to sin of nature. There's something in me that's wrong and it's off, and I don't know what it is, and I continue to work out of that brokenness within me. So obviously we don't want sin of will and we don't want sin of nature, but that's a harder one to pull out, right? It's hard to know what that is if it's so within us, and we're confused by it. How do we find it? And that's what the season of Lent is about. And so for those who don't know what the season of Lent is, basically, the weeks leading up to Easter that have traditionally been a time for self-reflection through fasting, that is, giving up food or some other luxury in life for a season, and prayer. And we ask God to look within us. So I'm going to ask you to post something else here. I'm going to read our scripture. I know we're kind of deep into this already, but we're going to look at our scripture now because the scripture is the answer to how we look within. It's Psalm 51, and I'll give 100 Mount Olive points to be used however you desire to anybody who can tell me when, after what historical event David wrote this psalm. It's Psalm 51. I'm going to begin in verse 6, and here's what it says. You desire truth in the inward being. So there we're talking about that inwardness of us. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. So David recognizes there's something in him that's wrong. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. A hyssop was a plant they used in the sacrificial system. It was a parsley-like herb, and they would dip it in the blood of the sacrifice, and as the congregation gathered, would spatter them with that blood of the sacrifice to represent cleansing, as that animal had been slaughtered, so their sins were being slaughtered. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be made clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. And here's the phrase or the verse that we often hear, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. This passage is an outline of how to self-reflect with the help of God's Holy Spirit. David is saying, there's something in me, Lord, that I don't even know about. There's a nature within me that is not in line with you. Give me wisdom to see it. Help me understand what it is, and then cleanse it and take it from me, and don't hold it against me. Don't hold it against me. We need help finding these toxic behaviors that are within us. Last year, we had a problem in the house. Now, if these sins are so deep and hidden, what damage can they do? And I'll tell you this, they can rot out your subflooring. I found out that the connects on our washer had a little drip, just, I mean, minuscule. And the problem was that the drip would fall and then it hit the drywall and be absorbed. Well, I don't know how long this drip was going on, months or a year. But after a while, it soaked that drywall so much so that then it began letting that little drip fall through into the floor. And so after months or even a year, I suspect a long time, that little drip accumulated into rot. By the time I noticed what was going on, what had happened was a channel had been made, and I was walking through our kitchen where we have tile. And I stepped on a tile and water came up between the grout. And I said, oh boy, this is not good. And it took me a little while to finally track it, but I could kind of track that squishiness all the way back to the washer. And I pulled the washer out. Floor, the drywall was even starting to crumble. It was so swollen. Trustees had to come in. We had to pull up the floor. Whole new floor had to be put in our back hallway. Luckily, it didn't get too far, but it cost quite a bit of money. And when we have those inward natures, it's like that little drip. It's really hard to find it, but it begins infecting everything. Luckily, we did a mold test afterwards, and it hadn't gotten any further than the back part of the house, and so we didn't have to do anything too extensive. But when we let that sin nature go without examining it, it infects in relationships, and pretty soon We don't understand why people are upset about us, but they're leaving us or cutting us off in relationships. Or we don't understand why our spouse keeps getting so upset over our arguments, and we can't see what role we are playing in breaking down the relationship because that little drip is happening over and over again. The Bible gives us the perfect example of people who had that broken inwardness but were unaware of it. And willful sin is almost less damaging than the sin nature. That might be a stretch to say that, but at least with willful sin, you know what's going on. You know you're doing something you shouldn't be engaged in. Guilt kicks in, and we know we have to either cover it or hide it, and or get it out in the open and deal with it. But this thing can just kind of drip, drip, drip in the background and build up until it just, man. And I see that Steph got it. It was after he had Bathsheba's husband killed, close. Actually, it was that event, but it was after Nathan confronted him, after the prophet Nathan confronted David. That's when he goes off and he begins fasting and praying, and this comes from it. But back to that example, there's an example of people who had that twisted inward nature that had a huge impact on God's people. And we read about them in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew 9:34, but the Pharisees said, speaking of Jesus, he drives out demons by the ruler of the demons. We're hard on the Pharisees, and we probably should be. They lived unexamined lives, so to speak. They didn't stop to look at their inward sin nature. They were so focused on willful sin and the willful sins of others that they didn't see the brokenness within themselves. Paul said, I was a Jew among Jews, of Pharisees, the best of them, blameless by the law. He lived by the letter of the law, and yet he admits that he was killing Christians in his zeal for the Lord, killing them. Until the light of Christ came into his life, he could not see that broken nature within him because his hands were clean in a way. The Pharisees were hard on them. And we should be, I suppose, but do you ever stop to think that the Pharisees, a lot of them, thought they were doing the right thing? Here comes this radical young rabbi teaching lessons about forgiveness and the love of God and not considering the weight of sin the way they thought he should, not shaming people for their misbehavior the way he thought they should. And people are following him by the droves. Some of them, I believe, behaved out of a clear conscience, believing that what they were doing was actually protecting their faith and protecting the people. But all this came because they had drippy faucets, bad connections that they were unwilling to examine. That ought to give us a huge pause when it comes to our personal convictions, that we need to allow God to be examining what is within us, those secret places, as David, the secret place of my heart, David says, that I don't understand, but you do, Lord. I need to see that, and I need it cleansed. I'm gonna end with this one thought. There's something that you need to do. Now, let me see what time it is. Hopefully, a couple resources have posted by now. I put them on a schedule to post. One is an examination John Wesley used in his Holy Club in Oxford. 22 or 24 questions, depending on the list you grab. That John Wesley would ask of those in what he called his Holy Club in Oxford. His brother was in it and some other folks. And these were questions to examine the self. It's like David's prayer in Psalm 51. It will help you examine within yourself. And I want to talk to you about the 12 steps of AA. Now, most of you probably haven't taken time. You've heard that phrase, and maybe you've read through them, maybe you haven't. Chances are you haven't studied them. But the 12 steps of AA, they're a powerful tool for anyone. If you just replace alcohol with sin, you'll find real quick that what is listed in those 12 steps is how to earnestly examine yourself with God's help and then repent of what you find there. And step four of the 12-step program, I want to read for you steps one through four first. Step one, we admit we are powerless over alcohol, over sin, we might say, that our lives had become unmanageable. So there's a secret drip that we can't figure out and it's messing everything up. Step two, come to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So all those broken relationships between us and God, us and each other, us and the created order and how we work and live out life, all this could be restored by God, our higher power. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. And a lot of people give that a hard time, but we know and we understand that's Jesus. That's how we understand our lives being transformed. And then here's step four. I'm going to post it for us as well because I want you to have it in front of you. And one of the things that I've learned and been blessed with, working with those in recovery, the biggest difference between those in recovery dealing with addiction and those who maybe don't have addiction, the biggest difference between those two groups is that those in addiction, their sin, their struggle has become so great that they can't fake it anymore. That's really the biggest difference. They can't fake it anymore. It's out there. Everybody can see it. It's destroying their lives. But for a lot of us, sin is destroying our lives. But it's a lot more subtle. And it's not as easily seen. It's that drip, drip, drip. So there, step four is make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. That could be a summary of Psalm 51. Make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So as we're talking about toxic behavior, there's those things that right on the surface you're going to notice right away. Grishel in his book gives him some fun names. He talks about, our deception infection and our septic thoughts. And so those are the two that we've been talking about today. Those things that are hidden within us, you know, convictions we have that probably aren't right, don't match with God's will and way, or deception infection. That's really where we've been focusing, those secret things within us that need dealt with. But then there's lethal language and there's hazardous waste. So lethal language is how we speak to others or about others. Are we building them up or are we tearing them down? And then hazardous waste, those are those sins we know. We know what they are. They're before us. Either we got a sharp tongue, or we got a secret sin, something we're hiding. And we know about those. Those are willful sins, that lethal language and those hazardous waste. But those sin natures are the ones we need to deal with that we're talking about today, that we're asking God in Psalm 51 to find in us and to root out. Chad and I had hoped that this would be kind of a more conversational message this week, but obviously, you know, with myself being ill and needing to maintain some distance, that couldn't happen. Won't happen next week either. I'll still be in quarantine next week, but the following week, I'm hoping to have more of a dialogue where you can watch Chad and I just kind of talk back and forth through the message. If you're wanting a little bit more connection, I'm going to go ahead and share the link here, and it's probably posted on our Facebook page as well. Mike McDivitt is leading a wonderful small group through Zoom. If that intimidates you, an online meeting, don't. You click this link that's shown up and follow it. You download, if you're on your computer, you download the file and run it. It takes you right to the meeting. It's really simple and really easy to do. So I hope you'll join us for that. It's looking like not until after Easter, and I'm not exactly sure when we'll be able to gather again publicly. I wonder if you would let me know if you'd be comfortable changing Holy Week. I've been talking to some of my pastor friends here in the community, and we're discussing maybe in Grant County finding a way to organize that once we come back, as long as it's not too far out, that once we're able to come back as churches and gather physically, that first Sunday might be Palm Sunday, even if it's not the Palm Sunday on our calendar, which it certainly won't be. And then live out Holy Week together and celebrate Easter together as a community. So, give me your thoughts on the Facebook page if you think it's okay to change the dates of Easter. They kind of change every year anyway, so we'll see what you think about that. So, as we're unable to gather, I want to encourage you to continue to pray for each other. Share online your prayer concerns and your needs. It's hard for me to kind of watch those right now as we're going, but I'll come back to these and I'll be praying for the church and all of you. So, as we close our time together, I thank you for joining me. I really do. Last week we had, it was like 246 devices that logged in, and so we had a really good connection. So I hope you keep that up. Make this a habit. Don't get out of the habit of worshiping together, and as little together as it may be, but it's not a good thing to neglect, as Paul said. So as we close, let's have a word of prayer as we each go our separate ways. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for those who have logged in today and are connecting. For those who will watch this video later in the day, I pray for each of us to be safe and wise in our practices. I pray for protection over us. But Lord, I pray most importantly that we would take the blessing of this season of isolation and use it to be focused on you and allow your spirit to search us and to know us. And to reveal to us in our secret heart those things which need changed and transformed for your glory and good. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church family, for joining me. God bless and be safe. Amen.